You're listening to the Prison Poetry Workshop podcast. I'm Ren Smith. Here we present readings, commentary, recordings, and stories about the little known and even less understood literary tradition of prison poetry. Now, let's rewind some decades and visit Angola Prison in the 1930s. That song was recorded by folklorists John and Alan Lomax in 1933 as part of a series of innovative projects and programs implemented under the New Deal authored by Franklin D. Roosevelt. The father and son team were traveling across the South, preserving American roots music passed down through generations. Don Fleming runs the Alan Lomax Archive and notes that there was fear back then that the pervasiveness of a popular music, jazz, would equal the death of all traditional music.
They were really looking for these isolated places, places like prisons, places that were not part of the what they saw at the time as already like losing all traditional concepts of music because of radio and because of records that were out.
When they visited Angola Prison, they found a veritable treasure trove in the form of Huddy Leadbetter, better known as Lead Belly.
John Henry was a newborn baby, sitting down on his mama's knee.
Born in Morrisport, Louisiana in 1889, the man writer Alex Haley would later refer to as the Mount Everest of blues singers deeply impressed the Lomaxes. They'd encountered plenty of talented prisoners by then, but none quite like Leadbelly.
The reason they thought Leadbelly was so amazing was not just his performance and his voice, but it was his repertoire, that he knew all these songs. He knew work songs. He knew children's ballads. He knew everything. He was one of these guys that was just like a human jukebox of traditional music and all different styles.
Leadbelly's extensive knowledge of folk music had been acquired on the road. At 14, he'd begun traveling between towns on horseback, performing at various juke joints. James Robinson married Leadbelly's niece, who cared for the blues man later in life. He says back then, Leadbelly picked up songs from those he shared the stage with, but they weren't his only source.
As he's traveling through the countryside, he'd go past these chain gangs, and they'd be singing these work songs. And he liked the song, but he put his own words and music to a song and made it his own.
Unfortunately, Leadbelly would eventually have the opportunity to learn as many chain gang songs as he wanted. In 1918, what had become a hot temper got him in trouble. Leadbelly murdered a cousin in a fight over a woman. Robinson says Leadbelly was the little guy with the big temper.
When you crossed him or tried to hurt somebody, a loved one, that's when he became violent. And that's the only time he became violent. Leadbelly was short in stature. I think he was maybe 5'6", 5'7". And people mistook his size. But, you know, they thought that he would be a pushover. But Leadbelly was a powerful, powerful man.
John Henry taking sick, boy, he had to go to bed. Woo! Palandro steal like a man, Lord, Lord. Palandro steal like a man. Palandro steal
the Lomaxes like were so enthralled with Leadbelly, they returned to Angola like to record him a second time in July of 1934. During that visit, he played them a new song. One Leadbelly wrote about wanting a pardon from Louisiana Governor O.K. Allen. At the time, Leadbelly was serving his second prison stint, this one for attempted murder. John Lomax decided to write the governor with word of Leadbelly's unusual appeal.
Father, brother, O.K. Allen, say that man of mine, and I'll be done, ducked over the pen.
By August, Leadbelly was a free man.
And they all thought it was because of that song, but the the official later wrote to John Lomax saying it wasn't because of that, that he was just up for parole anyway.
But it's not like the theory that a song might earn Lead Belly his freedom was far-fetched. 9 years earlier, when Lead Belly was serving time for murdering his cousin, that's exactly what happened. Locked away in the Texas prison, Lead Belly wrote a song to then Texas Governor Pat Neff, asking to be let go.
I know my wife is giving shots, dreams would ever come stepping out. I looked around and gave the thanks to Governor Pat Neff. I wouldn't have a little much on me because I had 35 years. Please, I'm gonna be good and calm. Have much on me, been a long time.
Even though Neff had run on a tough-on-crime platform that included refusing to issue inmate pardons, he liked the song so much, he issued Lead Belly a pardon anyway. Facing a maximum sentence of 35 years, Lead Belly served 7.
I don't see to save my soul, don't get a punch on up the road.
After meeting the Lomaxes, Lead Belly's life changed. The Lomaxes hired him to help collect prison music and took him on a tour of universities to play the music they helped archive. He eventually moved north to take his chances in New York, which Fleming says didn't exactly pan out.
I mean, I think Lead Belly certainly had hopes to get to New York and then record for a real record company, and he certainly tried to do that when he did get to New York. At that time, blues in the commercial market had really already peaked. I mean, by the time Lead Belly got to New York in even the mid-30s, that heyday of, like, blues 78s was already tailing out at that point, so it was just sort of weird timing for him.
While Lead Belly would never make it to the top 10 or anything, he would build a loyal following among folk music aficionados. The likes of John Lee Hooker and Woody Guthrie were known to stop by his place to jam. But today, he's not really known for those years. Lead Belly's music has lived on past those years and long past his death because it's so powerful. And that power is tied to his prison years.
John, come on, Mr. Rosen. Kind of what do you know? Well, I know about a bar and the dress she wore. I'm a rattler on the shoulder. See the paper in her hand. Well, I'm going in at the governor. He's trying to lose them all, man. Let the midnight special shine your light on.
That was one of Lead Belly's better-known prison songs, Midnight Special. James Robinson says it's what you might call a prison ballad.
If the light from that train shone on in your window, and you, the possibility of you going free was pretty sure. So that was the theme of the song. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. So this way, one day I'll get out of here, I'll be free.
Let the midnight special shine every loving light on me.
These songs have an appeal and a soul that's hard to beat. It's no wonder it's still the thing that's so closely associated with this great musician. In his story, we're allowed to see redemption and hear optimism. Lead Belly's great niece, Tanya Singh, is the executive director of his foundation. She also hears the themes of hope in the music.
Just another hope song, you know, for people that were in prison. It was a song that that came about again, pass the time, trying to, you know, give hope to each day. Each day would be better.
Midnight special, shine your light on me. Little midnight special, shine every loving light on me.
I'm Ren Smith. We'll be back next week with more prison poetry. To find out how you can lend your voice to our poetry archive, go to prisonpoetryworkshop.org.